y'all, welcome back to the RV America Y'all podcast.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Tom, and we're RV America Y'all.
We are native Texans and full-time RVers who are all about exploring the great state of Texas and beyond, one campground at a time. We're on a mission to experience life, not just live it, and we're bringing you along for the fun.
Recording this episode at Jamaica Beach RV Resort. Our run here at Jamaica Beach this year is coming close to an end. This is episode 36.
And before we leave, we're sitting down with our friends Eva and TC, otherwise known as Adventures in Sweet Pea, to talk about their full-time travels and adventures and challenges on the road. So sit back, relax, and join us as we RV America, y'all. Yes, sadly, our time here on our beloved Galveston Island is coming to a close again this year. Golly, it flies by.
Yes, it does.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
We have loved once again our time here at Jamaica Beach RV Resort with our friends and family, but we're looking forward to this year's adventures. We are so excited, though, to be joined today by our friends TC and Eva. And they are also full-time RVers, and we've run into them several times across the country during our travels. So thanks, guys, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon.
And we are sitting here in their coach, the trusty Sweet Pea that we'll talk about a little bit. But do y'all want to introduce yourselves a little bit? Maybe start with telling people a little bit about your RV.
I'm Eva. And we have been in Sweet Pea for about 3.5 years now. So she's a Newmar Dutch Star. We ordered her. So since we were going to be full-time in her, there were certain things that we really wanted to have. So we made the choice to actually order her from NIRVC. And we've been very happy with her. She's treated us very well so far.
And now she is what model of Dutch Star?
She is a 4369. So she's about 44 feet long. About as big as you can go, but that's kind of what we wanted. We wanted to be able to go to our own corners if we needed to, yet she's nice and cozy.
Well, who drives normally?
I'm TC, and I am the driver.
Okay.
I go where Eva tells me to go.
I can drive if want to, but he doesn't like for me to, so I prefer not to. So, I just let him drive.
So you ordered your coach like we did. You want to talk a little bit about that process? You said you wanted something very specific, and that's why you decided to order your coach.
Yeah, we spent probably, 5 years going to the Tampa RV show. We started out thinking we might full-time in a fifth wheel. So we were looking at different models of fifth wheels, and as we progressed through the process and seeing the type of workmanship that we would want, the type of rig that would really endure full-time travel, we kept kind of moving up in the levels of RV, and then we were at the point where we were going to need a big HDT truck to pull it. At least that's what TC was
looking. A Volvo.
He wanted a Volvo.
Yeah.
And then when I started doing
go
the math,
or go home.
Yeah, exactly. We started doing the math, and we said, well, you know, if we're going to spend that kind of money, why don't we look at a Class A? And then we would have the flexibility of having the towed with us and such. And we're really happy that we made this choice. It's so easy to set up and break down. You know, you can literally live in it without the slides being open if you have to. And it's really worked out well for us. We're really, really happy with it.
Well, once y'all ordered, how long did it take to get?
We worked with Stephanie. It was, I think, Christmas of 2019 at National Indoor in Dallas. And after COVID hit, of course, there that next spring. So they shut down for a month in April. We were supposed to get it in April, but it was early June, I think, of 2020 when we finally picked her up.
Okay.
So about 5 months from order to delivery.
With a month delay.
Yeah, with a month delay.
Which that's not bad when you consider everything that was going on at that time. I think ours, when we ordered in 2021, we ordered in January and we took delivery end of May.
Okay.
So about the same amount of time.
Yeah. We were told that we were in paint when they shut the factory down, which we're very happy that was the case, because when we went up to Napanee in, was it May, for our 1 year warranty work, there were coaches parked everywhere waiting for parts, just everywhere. So fortunately, Sweet Pea was built.
You had good timing.
Yeah, we just had to take delivery.
Perfect.
Now tell us about the name, Sweet Pea. Where the heck does that come from?
Well, I kept throwing names out to her, and this wouldn't work and that wouldn't work. And we had a couple of Westies. One of them's name, well, nickname was Sweet Pea. And it clicked the minute I mentioned it, so it stuck.
There you go. I love it. Now, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this question, but as you're talking about Sweet Pea, it jumps into my head. You actually carry around a tomato plant.
I do.
Full time.
That's my baby girl. She's an early girl. I've had her for 8-9 months now. She's been fruitful. She's turning red today. She's had a couple of tomatoes that turned.
And she survived a big windstorm last night.
You know, it was 30-mile-an-hour winds last night. She's been blown over twice. She survived a hailstorm.
Or two or three.
Or two. Yeah. And even the birds trying to...
Yep.
Birds
We've lost
ate her
a
twice.
Few tomatoes here and there, but she's done pretty good.
That's pretty amazing, though, to carry a tomato plant around the country and to have it thriving like it is.
Next year, I'll get a second one.
I have to admit, they are the only couple we've ever seen travel with a tomato plant.
We are unique.
And I will second that.
So where do you carry baby girl when you're traveling?
She sits back between the bed and the refrigerator in the back end, as far back as we can put her. She slid a couple of times, but usually she stays put.
Yep. He puts her she's in a bucket. So the plant stays in a bucket. It helps keep her stabilized. And then, he puts her back there, and we pull the slides in, and she has her little spot.
She's snug as a bug.
That's awesome. Now, were you into gardening before
Never.
You were traveling full-time?
Never.
This is something you've discovered along the way.
I got tired of buying tomatoes that didn't taste like anything, so.
That makes sense. Why not? Just bring them along.
Exactly.
Okay, then. So when did y'all get into RVing? You've now been full-time since 2020.
Mm-hmm.
2020, okay.
Now, we took delivery June of 2020. Mm-hmm. And then we were sitting still in South Florida. I had to have some surgery, so we couldn't leave town. But then surgery got postponed because of COVID. So we took a 2-month trip. Our son was with us. He had just graduated college in the midst of COVID, and he didn't have a job. So we hit the road for 2 months. He got a job. We went back to South Florida. We sat for 3 more months while he did have the surgery. And we really hit the road in earnest in January of 21.
But
we've been living
RV,
in the RV.
Did y'all RV before this?
No.
We did as kids.
Yeah,
camped as kids, and I think both of our families had campers. But mm-hmm. Our adult lives, most of our camping was in a tent with the Boy Scouts. Our son's an Eagle Scout.
Awesome.
So we had roots and rocks in our backs for 12 years and decided that when we were done with that, we were done with rocks and roots. So we bought our last RV first.
Okay.
And that's Sweet Pea.
That's awesome.
This is supposed to be our first coach and our last.
We don't camp. I glamp. I do not camp.
Okay, now having said that, what types of campgrounds or RV resorts do you normally glamp in?
I prefer Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, Corps of Engineers and state parks are our preference, but being a 44-foot-long coach, it's not always possible, especially state parks. You just can't get into all of them. So we'll do a Corps of Engineers when we can. We love the ones that have full hookups, but if they don't, that's not a problem. But we'll do anything from just a simple campground. We don't need frills and amenities and such, but we've also stayed at some nice resorts. Here at Jamaica Beach, there's lots of activities and amenities to take advantage of. But we're just as happy sitting at just a campground that's, giving us power and water and a little sewer dump. And, that's all we need.
We don't need the resorts. We like this campground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jamaica Beach.
Yeah. Now, how did y'all decide? You hadn't RV'd before. How did you decide that to get into RVing and that this was going to be your chosen mode of travel? And really,
not
you're kind of taking
it's
a
not
risk,
just
right?
Mode of travel.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
And so you're kind of taking a risk because you had RV'd as kids, but it had been a while, and now you're looking at, you know, getting this massive coach and hitting the road. How does that decision come about?
Well, he always says I was the one driving that train. So honestly, thinking back on it, every day before I'd go to work, I'd get up, I'd take my shower, I'd have my breakfast, and I'd sit at the computer and I'd watch YouTube videos. Folks like you guys and other YouTubers out there who were living the full-time lifestyle. And yeah. I'm like, that looks great. You know, when I retire, do I just want to sit home every day or do I want to try to see the country? And I said, that would be the way to do it. Let's consider getting an RV. So we started talking about it. And
every day's an adventure.
That is a fact.
KC, how were you sold on it? I mean, did you just go with it right away?
It was an easy pushover. Like I said, I'd camped all my life, and the fact that you got to see things in your own pace was all I needed to hear.
Did y'all sell the house?
We did.
Yep. Sold the house.
We're homeless and unemployed.
We're not.
I should say we're houseless and unemployed.
There you go.
Sweet Pea is our home.
We're retired.
And that.
Well, you know, even, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to him, I started looking at the math, going, well, if we want to travel country, we could go somewhere for a month and do a short-term apartment or something and then move to the next location and just travel around. But, like, you're going to have to pack and unpack every time. And
eat in restaurants.
Eat at restaurants, or even if you had a little apartment or something, it didn't make sense. And I'm like, even if this is a more expensive way to do it, mm-hmm. because you can do this lifestyle on a budget, you know, very inexpensively,
right.
or you can spend a lot of money doing it.
And COVID.
And I'm an accountant, so I've always kept track of every penny we spent, literally almost every penny we spent. So I knew how much it cost to live in a sticks and bricks house, how much we spent going out to eat and groceries and activities, entertainment. And then I started doing the budget of how much would it cost in the RV. So we traded a mortgage and real estate taxes and, you know, things like that, homeowners association fees for campground fees, sometimes electricity and fuel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, instead of house insurance, you've got RV insurance. So I started doing the math and I said, we could do this for about the same amount of money that we were spending in the sticks and bricks and see the country. So why not?
Follow 72 degrees.
Really try.
It was hot in Florida.
It's cold today, honey.
Well, okay, with that being said, since you've been an accountant and did all those numbers, you're 3.5 years in or whatever. How is it comparing financially to what you had before?
It's actually very close. Because I still keep track of everything. And, you know, if we do overspend 1 month, I'll be like, okay, well, maybe we need to cut back here or cut back there. But for the most part, it's very, very similar to what we spent before. And it's very much in line with what we expected. I even keep track of the campgrounds, how much it is per night, have a little spreadsheet that calculates the average rate. So I'm like, okay, well, we're spending too much on campgrounds. Let's go see if I can find a Corps of Engineers state park or do some monthly stays like we're doing this winter that can really bring your average back down.
Right.
So during the summer, we might stay a week here and a week there, and it's more expensive. But then in the winter, I can kind of help offset it by staying somewhere for a month here, a month there.
Makes perfect sense.
It works out.
Doesn't hurt to have the senior pass for the Corps of Engineer half price.
Yeah, tell
camping.
Everybody how old I am, honey.
You're old enough to have the senior pass.
Thank you, dear.
This RV just got a little smaller.
Yeah, what they're talking about is the National Parks Pass, and for seniors, you get half price in the National Parks and in the Corps of Engineer parks or any kind of
for
parks.
Camping.
For camping. Yeah. And so we're not quite there.
He's getting close.
I'm getting closer. no, it's a great perk. And we know when Stacy's mom went with us several years ago, she had her senior parks pass. Mm-hmm. So every national park we went to, we actually got half price. And what was lucky is some of those we'd already paid.
Right.
But once we got there and we presented her national parks pass, they gave us our money back.
That's yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I think there's also a pass for disabled Americans.
Yes, there is.
The military, I think, gets that same discount.
Yeah. I believe that's true, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
So how do you go about planning for a trip? Do y'all plan together? Does one person do all the planning? How do you do that?
Well, you know, I've been keeping a spreadsheet of all the places we wanted to go while I was watching all these people's videos. So you guys would go, you know, Big Bend or somewhere, and somebody would go to Leavenworth, Washington or whatever. And so I've been keeping a spreadsheet of all the zillions places we want to go. And then what we did is when we first started out, we said, okay, let's try to kind of stay on the East Coast. So what's ended up happening is we kind of done the country in segments. We kind of did the East Coast the first year and then kind of up the middle of the second year. Last year, we made it out to the Dakotas and such. But in looking at the path, I used RV Trip Wizard. I will say that. I use RV Trip Wizard. And then I start to plot in the important places we want to go. So last year, we wanted to go to Teddy Roosevelt National Park, and we wanted to go to the Black Hills and such as that. And then I start to fill in the gaps along the way. Okay, well, we have to go through Kansas. What's in Kansas that I want to see? I whip out my trusty spreadsheet and go, oh, we could stop in Dodge City and this, that, and the other, and start to kind of lay out the path. We're not the type that we want to drive in circles somewhere. Drive over here and then go clear across the country to go to that RV show and then head back west to go to the Balloon Fiesta or something. We try to work it into kind of a plan, a route, to minimize the miles, because less wear and tear on the RV, less fuel expense. And, you know, this winter we ended up kind of zigzagging across the state of Texas. But then again, well, Texas is big. It's not like zipping clear across the country back and forth. So, but it's really trying to pick those places that we've never been to before, figuring out how long we want to stay, what all is there to see, getting online. And then when I've kind of got a plan kind of mapped out, we'll sit down. Okay, honey, this is, you know, what I was thinking. This is where we might go. And it was like, oh, I don't know if I want to spend 2 weeks there. Maybe we spend a week there. And then we'll start to tweak it and that sort of thing. But I honestly do most of the planning, and he goes where I tell him to go.
Precisely.
If you ask him where we're going next, he couldn't tell you.
Somewhere in Texas.
Even though I've told him over and over again where we're going.
It's south of here.
So do y'all have a certain length of time that you like to stay in each place that you go? Or
our sweet spot's usually a week to two. But here in the winter, because of the rates and because there's so much to see that we've never seen, we've been staying a month or 5 weeks, mm-hmm. most places.
Well, that's the thing, too. In the winter, there's only so far north you want to go.
Right.
So if you're going to be in the southern part of the country, you can spend a little bit more time and try to relax. You know, and it's not, we're not on vacation. We're living. Right. So you still have to do laundry. You still have to pay the bills. You might need a doctor appointment, or I have to go get my hair cut or whatever. So, you know, sometimes you want to stay longer just so you have time to do those things and not feel like you're rushed all the time.
Right, right. So do y'all set out and say, we're going to travel, you know, this many miles? Or is it just totally based every year on, here's what we're going to go see?
I think it's more what we're going to go see.
Yeah.
This past year, like I mentioned, we made it all the way up into the Dakotas, but it was kind of a big circle. So it wasn't as many miles as we originally intended. Or as we anticipated it being, because we just kind of went north, then we came back south. Now, we did have to make a detour over to Napanee, and then because of that, we made a detour over to visit my parents in Mississippi. So we did a couple little jogs outside of our circle that we planned, but we weren't going to put as many miles on the coach originally.
There's flexibility built in. Sometimes we have plans change, but we try to follow the threes, drive 3 hours, 300 miles, or be in by 3 o'clock.
There you go.
That's a target. That's not an absolute. So we drove 6 hours getting here and got in at 4:30. So,
But yeah, most of the time when I'm looking at the itinerary, you know, Trip Wizard will tell you about how long it's going to take, how many miles it is, and what they expect you to take. And if it's 6 or 7 hours, I'll try to find a Harvest Host in between or something just to break up the drive. Because we have done some of these 6 and 7 hour drives. One time it was in the mountains and towards Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And while 6 or 7 hours isn't that bad, when the last hour is driving through those mountains, it can be tough.
White knuckles.
Yes.
Yeah, I imagine the whiskey came out that night.
Crown peach, two fingers.
So do y'all have some favorite places that you've been so far or things that are still on your bucket list?
I have mine. Black Hills, South Dakota.
Oh, love it.
Between Devil's Tower and Mount Rushmore and all
Custer
the other,
State Custer, Park.
Custer
yes.
State Park,
Spearfish.
Deadwood. All the places around Deadwood, plus the weather was just fantastic
Rapid
this
City.
Summer.
We made it out to the Badlands. I have to agree with him. That's one of my favorite places that we've been.
Upper Peninsula would probably be second.
Yeah, we went to the UP of Michigan. We really liked that. The first year, we made it to the North Georgia Mountains, you know, North Carolina, Georgia, Eastern Tennessee, mm-hmm. and we really liked that area, too. It's just beautiful there.
That could be home.
Potentially.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how many places, when you travel around, it's just crazy how many awesome places there are. Mm-hmm. All around in America.
Right here in Galveston.
We love it. Yeah.
Right here in Galveston. We went out today for lunch, and we kind of showed even TC around the Strand here in Galveston.
Which is the historic downtown.
Yeah, and because we're about to leave here, but they're going to be here for a few more weeks.
I'm glad we've got another month here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There's a lot to do. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite thing, do you think, about the RV lifestyle so far, now this far into it for y'all?
For me, it's seeing new places and meeting new people.
Yeah.
You might not know this about us, but you know this about him. He is definitely an extrovert. Mm-hmm. He'll talk to a fence post and have a conversation with it. If, you know, he can meet anybody and just start talking right away. I've always been very introverted, and I was always the wallflower at a party. You know, I was not the one that needed to go out and meet new people and make new friends. But this lifestyle has actually forced me out of that shell. Now, I'm not saying I'm as extroverted as he is, but I've become more extroverted because of it. Because you're not forced to meet new people, but it's just more natural. You're right. Outside. People stop and talk to you. You know, it's not like you have to go up and horn your way into a conversation. I was never good at that. But just walking up to people and, you know, people are walking by on the street or, you know, down the path, and you start talking to them. They're walking the dog.
You know, that's really interesting. I had not thought about it before, but people are typically shocked when I tell them that I'm really an off-the-chart introvert myself. And I was very much that, you know, not really comfortable in big situations and lots of people I didn't know. And you're right, though. You already have something in common with people when you meet them. So conversation is easy, and it does. I think you're absolutely right. I think it has helped me as well become more comfortable
and
in social environments.
I'm the extrovert, obviously, and I always have been. But, you know, what's crazy is here in just this podcast, for everyone paying attention, Eva and Stacy have done much more of the talking than TC and I. So you can see, and this happens all the time.
We're smart men.
But it happens all the time. If we go into like a winging it, even on YouTube, or we do a podcast, typically the one that says, I'm just going to be in the corner and not say anything, is the one that talks the most, and the other one doesn't say much. It's very interesting. I don't know why it's that way, but it is. But it's part of the lifestyle. We're comfortable. Talking.
We have something in common.
Yeah.
The easiest way to get someone to talk is ask them to talk about themselves.
I guess that's true.
Ask them about their rig, about where they've been. Mm-hmm. And
places they recommend.
And there'll be a conversation to be
had.
That's
how we met you guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've seen you guys now in 4 states, right?
Georgia, Texas.
Louisiana.
Missouri.
Louisiana.
And Missouri.
Now, did we see
them? Yeah, you
in
guys
Missouri?
Were getting a little.
At the international
Missouri.
Rally.
That's right.
You were in Atlanta when we met you first. Mm-hmm. I think you had a boo boo that had to look after.
Yeah, that's right. When we had been in the accident. Yep. We were getting the body work done.
Well, and she looks fine.
And in Texas too. Now this is twice in Texas, and theoretically 3 times because we were at the customer appreciation rally.
Right.
And what people don't know is we had dinner the last night. And I'm sitting next to Stacy. I said, well, where are you guys headed next? She goes, oh, we're going over to National Indoor for our service. I said, so are we.
And we ended up next door. That's right.
For 2 weeks.
We were there for 2 weeks.
I made a new friend.
All of us.
Star's my new best friend.
Oh, right. Star loves TC. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
She does. It's mutual.
Now, okay, so we talked a little bit about favorite places and things. Do you have pet peeves? Has there been something that since you've been traveling, there's something that just kind of gets under your skin?
Mine's easy. It's light pollution.
Oh, okay.
It's when people leave their lights on out all night.
Okay. Yeah.
It's nice to go out at night when it's dark and you can see the stars, but when all the lights are on the coaches, you can't see them.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. The only other thing is sometimes people just let their dogs bark and bark and bark and bark.
We might be guilty of that.
No, I have not heard her at all.
I have not heard her.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Because believe me, if she was barking, you would know it.
Yeah.
I haven't heard her.
Well, that's good.
But I heard one way over there. Yeah. The other day.
And we know dogs bark. It's when they're gone all day and then leave the dogs and they bark all day that...
Right.
It's not fair to the dog, let alone me.
Yeah. Right.
I can deal with it, but the dog.
Well, you know, I've noticed recently, we've been doing a lot of booking for this year's travels, and because I'm behind, because normally we already have it figured out. And so a lot of the RV parks and campgrounds now have specific statements about that very thing, you know, that if your dog barks to the point that it starts to disturb the people around you, that that might be an issue for you at that campground. And I think that's something, maybe I just haven't noticed it in the past when I've been reading through, you know, things on different websites for parks, but it seems to be something that's coming up.
Yeah. The question is, will they enforce it?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a good question.
We had a friend that had a dog that told us she would leave her TV on and close the blinds if she was leaving it for the day. And since the dog couldn't hear or see anything going outside, it was
well, and that quiet. Helps with Star. That's what we help. Do with Star. Yep. We don't always leave the TV on, but we will close the blinds so that she can't, you know, we might leave
sight.
A few open where she can't really see out very well, but it lets light in. So she knows it's daytime. But it helps her relax more, I think, if she's not just sitting there either looking for us and or watching other dogs walk by. I think that does help her stay calmer.
Because they get excited.
That they do, yes. Yeah. Now, you guys chose Florida as your domicile. For folks who don't know, if you are a full-time RVer, you typically will choose what they call a domicile, and that's kind of the state that you're attached to, where your address is, where you get your mail.
Well, you have to have a domicile because the government's still going to tax you. So
right. So how did y'all choose Florida?
We already were Florida residents, so we lived in South Florida for... 30 years, forever. And when we decided to do this, Florida, it was one of those states, you know, Florida, Texas, or South Dakota are typically where full-timers will domicile. I mean, you can do another state, but you may have tax implications and such. And since we were already Florida residents, it was just easy to do. We literally did everything online. We didn't have to go to the state and stay for X number of nights and go, you know, file all these papers and this, that, and the other. We literally went online, changed our address on our driver's license and insurance and this,
that,
and the other.
Don't need a CDL license in Florida to drive a Class A RV.
Yeah. Some people think that's crazy that we can drive these big buses without any kind of special license, but in Florida, you don't need a special license. It is a little bit more expensive from a RV insurance perspective, even auto insurance. It's just more expensive in Florida. But you don't have the cost of having to get your rig inspected and that sort of thing. And then the last thing was looking at health insurance. Because we're both retired, but we're not Medicare age, we needed health insurance. And so we are on the health exchange. And we found that, at least from what I could figure out in my research, was that Florida had some of the best options on health insurance plans. So we, for instance, have a Blue Cross Blue Shield PPO plan. That suits our needs, that's relatively inexpensive. You know, the government does subsidize it. That's the way healthcare.gov works. So like it or not, you know, we take advantage of that while we can, but we can use that health insurance anywhere in the country.
Oh, that's nice.
There's
it
the Blue
nice.
Cross, the Blue Cross network. You still, you know, need to stay in network to keep your costs down, but there are physicians, hospitals, you know, emergency rooms all across the country that accept Blue Cross. And I just had a procedure done in Mississippi, which was covered. I had to go to the emergency room in Arkansas. It was covered. So, you know, it's worked well for us. And with my medical history, I wanted to make sure that I had a good, solid health insurance plan. And so that was kind of the three things. That we were already Florida residents, the not needing any kind of special permits to drive the rig, and then health insurance.
Yeah, that's
all big.
Course, yes, they're all big. And, of course, we're Texas residents because we were from Texas, similar to y'all been from Florida. But no state income tax, all that.
Right.
That's great. But we do – our health insurance isn't the same. It's if we have an emergency situation, yes, it's covered. We go to the emergency room, that's covered. But if we have to have any kind of major procedure done – we have to come back to Texas, else it will not be covered.
Well, not even just Texas, but our plan actually requires us to be back in the Houston metro area.
Houston metro area. So it's, yeah. Now, I will say we've got other things like SkyMed that'll offset that could fly us into Houston.
And to get the rig back for us.
Get the rig back for us. So we supplement it kind of through SkyMed. But, not as friendly as Florida is on the healthcare situation, for sure.
Right. Yeah,
we're very happy with what we have, how it's worked for us. You know, the biggest thing is just finding a doctor.
Right.
You know, when your doctor won't see you because you can't go there once a year, you know, they'll do telemed, but if you can't see them once a year, some of them won't see you. So the biggest challenge has been trying to find doctors that are in other places.
Primary care.
Yeah. Primary care.
Right, for prescription refills and things like that.
Yeah.
Right. So would you say that's been the biggest challenge that y'all have faced as full-time RVers?
Absolutely.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Has there been anything that has surprised you about the lifestyle that maybe you didn't expect going into it?
Nothing for me, really.
I think the biggest surprise was how many spots are available when you get to a campground. You know, you're always thinking it's always booked, but they're not always booked. Some people we know like to wing it. They just like to show up or plan a week out. We can't do that.
Right.
Yeah. Stacy will not do that.
I don't
that.
Have the patience for either. That.
No. We used to do some first come, first serve back when we had the breeze. We were only 31 feet. We were shorter. We were more narrow, a little more nimble. And we did some first come, first serve camping, especially in the national parks and things. And it worked out fine.
Yep.
But I feel like the bigger that you are or the more that you want to be in a particular area or the longer that you want to stay or the more set you are on the dates to be there, the harder that is to do.
Absolutely. If you're just winging it and going, you know, oh, well, I'll figure out where I want to go tomorrow, that's fine.
Right.
But I'm a planner. I have to know where we're going.
That's at least three fingers of crown.
Yes. Well, if I told you, when we were leaving that I didn't know where we were going, he wouldn't move. He just
No, I wouldn't. And she's usually driven it on Google Maps to see what the road looks like.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
It
not
depends.
Always.
Well, because you do have a bigger rig.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you guys are almost 45 feet, right?
Yeah.
So you have to take that into account. Now, how tall are you? Because you're not short either on your rig.
We tell the GPS we're 13'6".
Okay.
We've gone under 13'6" bridges.
We haven't measured.
We need to measure it.
That's our ballpark.
Yeah.
But we have a vent cover on the back, you know, because the Dutch Star has the bathroom ceiling is kind of arched. Mm-hmm. And we put a Fantastic Fan vent cover, and you can see that sticking up above the rig. Normally you can't see anything sticking up, but you can see that thing sticking up. So when we go under 13.6, we're kind of like, oh, okay.
It sits higher than the solar panels.
And then we're 52,000 pounds, just the rig alone.
Wow.
Plus you're pulling the car. And we actually went over a bridge, and this is a funny but short little story. So we're going to a Harvest Host in outside of Monroe, Louisiana. We're driving down the road. I had driven it on Google, and the bridge said 30 tons, I think.
Yeah.
It said 30 tons.
30 or 35.
I'm like, okay, we're good. And at the end of the bridge, immediately, was another bridge, and it said 15 tons.
Oh, no.
And we're like, okay, got to go.
Yeah, buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up, hit just the go. Accelerator.
What are you going to do?
Oh, my. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was a little freaky.
Yeah, I guess
but
so.
We're still here. She made it.
Indeed. I did mention we have solar, but we did put lithium and solar on, so we're looking forward to doing more boondocking.
Okay.
So we weren't really set up to do that before, but now we're we're capable of doing
that. That'll give you a little more flexibility.
Correct. Too.
Absolutely.
You can pull off and do the BLM land out west.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Looking forward to trying that.
Makes it more convenient.
Sure. Right. Sure. Right. Now, and how much solar and lithium did you guys do?
We went big. The roof is full, 2,800 watts of solar and 1,600 amp hours of lithium.
Yeah.
Two 3,000 watt inverters. So.
Okay.
So, like we were saying last night, the weather got a little rough here.
Yeah, it did.
And the power came on and off like three times. And TC and I were talking about it. Luckily, we both have similar systems to where we didn't even notice it. I mean, I knew because I was watching TV and the cable went out. and with the storm as bad as it was, I told Stacey, check the power. I have a feeling we just lost power. And it's not like it affects us at all. No. Unless it's out for a significant amount of time.
Or if it's really hot or really cold, we have to burn a lot of power.
Yeah.
Right.
The thing I like best about the lithium, and it's really the lithium more so than the solar, but the coach thinks she's plugged into 30-amp power all the time, even
right.
driving down the road. So where before I couldn't use the microwave, you know, driving down the road, or I'd have to turn on the generator at a rest stop to heat something up for lunch, now I can turn it on, you know, at will. I can open the dishwasher without having to, you know, turn the generator on so I can get in there. It's little things. I mean, they sound silly, but
it's
you don't have to think about it anymore. It's
right.
the convenience of it.
So
we didn't do it for that, but it's just a nice little added benefit.
So how are you with your generator? Are you not running it going down the road anymore?
We did on this trip just because we hadn't run it in a while and it needs to stretch its legs. So we turned on the air conditioner and froze our butt, but we needed a load on the generator for an hour or two driving down the road because you pull into a campground. They don't want you running your generator to run it. So we do it when we're driving usually to exercise it. Shouldn't sit without running for extended periods.
No, nope, that's right.
But we don't have to run it anymore.
No, we do it. We do it to exercise the engine. Yeah.
And that's what we do. You know, when we first had our solar and lithium system installed, wasn't that long later we were at a campground and all of a sudden the generator randomly turned on. We're like, what the heck just happened? We've completely forgot that our auto gen start was set to exercise the generator had it not been used.
Yeah.
That will surprise you.
Well, yes, it will.
But that was nothing compared to we were at Fort Wilderness.
Disney.
And we come back and the generator's running. And we're like, it didn't exercise this time. That wasn't it. Astro, the cat, turns on the generator. Yeah, and see, normally it's a, you know, toggle switch on the up on the dash. Well, normally you have to
hold it.
Prime it.
Yeah.
You have to prime it. But we had just
exercised
it, so it didn't even need to be primed. So right when he stepped on it, it came on. And it took us two times of him doing that to realize that's what was going on.
The neighbors loved us.
Oh, yeah. Kept freaking us out that every time we'd come back, the generator was on.
So he's your generator assistant now. Yeah.
Yes, he is. He's very handy.
Yes.
So, guys, for us, you know, we've talked a lot about this, but RVing is about, for us, a lot of the memories that we're making and that type of thing. Are there certain things that stand out to you that you know, in 10 years you're going to look back and say, remember when we did this as part of your travels?
I think so. I mean, there's so many memories that we're making on this trip. And we, you know, I take so many pictures and such. And it's just, I think this is going to be one of the parts of our lives that we're really going to cherish because we're seeing this beautiful country of ours.
Good thing we're taking pictures because half the time I can't remember where I've been.
And I'm with you.
They run together.
I say that story, you know, back when we took vacations, you know, when we had regular jobs, it etches in your brain because you went to one place and you immersed yourself in that. But in this lifestyle, you see so many places right in a row that it is tough to remember one from the other.
It does blur together sometimes.
And the Black Hills was our favorite, but the thing I remember most was when you take the Iron Mountain Road out of Custer State Park, heading towards Mount Rushmore, there's three tunnels you come to, and at least two of them, if not all three. When you approach the tunnel, you can see Mount Rushmore through the tunnel. So yes. We made sure we took plenty of pictures of that.
Amazing. Yeah.
And you know, yes, two of them, you can see them out of your front windshield. The third one, halfway through that tunnel, they've cut a hole through the middle of the tunnel, so you have to look out the side, and you see Mount Rushmore.
I didn't see that. Let's go back.
I've got to go back. Black Hills, here we come.
There you go. We'll be there this year.
Yeah, we will.
So I guess one more question for you guys. When you meet folks who are thinking about getting into RVing or maybe new to the lifestyle, do you have a piece of advice that you like to share with them?
I think it's just, you know, do your research. If you're looking at this lifestyle, you can watch all the videos that you want where people are going to all these beautiful places, but there's day-to-day life in there. So what kind of rig are you getting? What are the challenges of owning that kind of rig? You know, set up, tear down, you know, repairs and maintenance and that sort of thing. Do your research. You know, we'll always hand people cards and say, you know, look, if you ever have any questions at all, you know, this is how you can get in touch with us. We're not experts by any stretch of the imagination, but we're always willing to try to help people because we did all that research and we've gone through those challenges and trials and tribulations of getting started. So it's all about meeting people, asking people questions. Don't be afraid. No question is a stupid question.
Agreed.
Ask those questions. And, you know, our card has our phone number on it. It has our email address, and it's got our, you know, Facebook and Instagram, our Adventures in Sweet Pea on Facebook and just Adventures in Sweet Pea on Instagram. But, you know, most of what we post out there is where we're going, the places that we're seeing, the sights we're seeing, the experiences we're having. But every once in a while, you know, I'll post, hey, look, it's not sunshine and rainbows, you know, we got stuck in the mud, you know, here's the tow truck. So these things can happen.
It doesn't hurt to be an engineer, an electrician, and a plumber all wrapped into one. It doesn't matter what rig you buy, stuff breaks.
And diesel mechanic
doesn't hurt. Yep. But any of the maintenance that you can do on your own will save you some money.
That's a great tip. That's a very good tip. Well, y'all, we really appreciate y'all having us over.
This was fun.
Thanks for having us.
So glad y'all came down to Galveston this year. I hope that y'all
will
come back.
Yes,
I know, it's true. Next time we'll have to plan it a little better. But thanks for joining us here on the podcast and sharing y'all's experiences with everybody. And we really look forward to the next time that we can get together.
Till next time, Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And until next time, y'all, thanks for listening. Safe travels.
And happy camping.
Bye.